Shalom to all. Today's office is Yerushalmi Yuvam Mustafa Hey, and we're starting down on a base on the bottom at the beginning of the Gemara after the Mishnah. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marshmim Sarbas Baka Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Oliyah. So we're going to start then regarding that rice that we mentioned at the beginning of the Masechta. Remember, we have Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven has two wives. One of them is an Erva to Shimon. Now, that woman was a Ketana, and she did Mion. She refused. She walked out of the marriage. So now that Reuven dies, Shimon is allowed to be Miyabim the Tzara because the Erva isn't in the picture anymore. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss what about Mion after death? Does that work, or is Mion only work when the husband's still alive? As important to know, the Gemara begins by discussing a case where Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter, dies, whether or not she could do Mion right now. Now, the obvious question has to be asked, and will be asked later in the Gemara, is that we know that Mion is when she doesn't have a father. As we had explained, it's talking about a Ketana whose father died, so the Chum allowed her mother brother to marry off as a Ketana, so she's not taken advantage of. But if the father is alive, he's allowed to marry off the Raisa, and then no Mion is allowed. And as we said, the Gemara is going to talk about that. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Hariel Petrus, Harsim, Sarsain, Minchalitsum, Nayib, Vachulu, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon tells us, Minus Hibayavim, she's allowed to do Mion to her Yavam, meaning after her husband Reuven dies, she's allowed to do Mion to Shimon, who's the Erva to her, it could even be her father. And what does this help? Lakar Zikas HaMeis, that uproots the Zika, the connection that she had to the Mace, to her previous husband, and Memel Lahatar Tsar Lavia, that permits the Tsara, the co wife, to marry her father, or Vikal Chamiha, that permits the daughter in law to marry the father in law. For example, Shimon's son married this girl as a Ketana, and he died, and now she does Mion, so that means that Lima Freya, she was never really Shimon's daughter-in-law, so now she's allowed to marry him. And again, the key over here is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Mion is allowed to happen after the death of her husband. However, Rabbi Shimon Lakish train Amrin, Rav and Rosh Lakish both hold, she can't do Mion to the Yavam, Lakar Zika Zameis, Lahatar Tsar Lavia, Vakal Chamiyad, to uproot the Zika, the connection that she had with the Mace, her previous husband, in order to matter her Tsar to her father or daughter-in-law to her father-in-law. So now the question is, Rav and Shimon Lakish Beshamai, Rav and Rosh Lakish holding Beshamai, the Beshamai, Amrin Beshamai says, Babal. The Mion can only happen directly to her husband, but once her husband passes away, Mion's not allowed to be done. And it's mashma that Rav and Rosh Lakish hold like that. And we know they're usually passing like Beis Hillel and not like Beis Shammai. So what's going on? Are Rav and Rosh Lakish really holding like Beis Shammai? Answers the Gemara Manan Kamen. What are we referring to? Hangman Alpha on the top. In by Meres, if she looks at the Yavam, which again is an erva to her, let's say her father, and she says, I don't want your marriage or the marriage of your brother, meaning I didn't want to be married to your brother previously. So call Amamad Shiakaras, everyone, meaning Rabbi Yechanan and Rav and Rosh Lakish agree that she could be Iker, she could uproot that marriage, Lima Freya, retroactively, and it's Ke'ilu like she was never married to the brother, and this is happening after death. Everyone agrees to that. Elokan in comments, what are we referring to? Meaning, what's the case that we have Machlaikas, Rabbi Yechanan on one side, and Rav and Rosh Lakish on the other side? By Maris, when she says, yeah, she been a suin, I don't want marriage. So Rabbi Yechanan says, how do we interpret this? It's Ke'ilu, Ke'ai Maris. It's as if she's saying that's the Gerson of Ba'ai Maris, but Ke'ai Maris, if she loibin Suech, Avalin Mesuechicha, it's like she's saying what we mentioned previously. She's telling her father, who's the Yavam, I don't want to be married to you or to your brother. I didn't want that marriage originally. Mimela, we say, Lima Freya. It's like she did this retroactively. So she was never married to the brother. So now she's out of the picture and her father's allowed to be Miyabim, her Tzara. Whereas Rav, Rosh Lakish, Chayin Armin, Rav, Rosh Lakish, they both say that no. Ke'ai Maris, as if she's saying, if she bin Suecha, I don't want to be married to you. Alab Nesuechicha, right, Sani. But I did want to be married to your brother. Mimela, that's not considered Mion. So now she still has the Zika to her father, whom she's falling to Yibam to him, and therefore not only she pater, but she also paters her tzara. Says the Gemara, Masisa Pliga Rabbi Yechanan. It seems to be that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yechanan. What did our Mishnah say? Vakulan and Mesu, all of them, all the rais we had mentioned, the first Mishnah, if they had died, Amianu, they did Mion, Anis Garshu, they got divorced, Ashim Su Islandis, or if they turned to be an Islandist, or Saint Mutaris, their tzaras are mutar. Now we focus on one of these, Nizgarshu, Valoihe Manu, when it says that they got divorced. Doesn't mean they got divorced from him when he was still alive, that he divorced them when he was alive. There has to be that because that's the only way they could have gotten divorced from him. Memelu the kavasa similarly mianu hemenu. It has to be that when we say that Mion was done, that they did Mion when the original husband Reuven was still alive. And so it's pretty clear from our Mishnah that you can't do Mion after death. How could Rabbi Yechanan say this? Now, even though really this question in Rav and Rosh Lakish as well, we're asking it in Rabbi Yechanan. So that's question number one. And question number two is Tanur Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya teaches his version in a Braisa. What does he say? Imianu and Nizgarshu b'chayabal. If they did Mion or got divorced when the husband was still alive, Tzar Sein Mutaris, so then their tzaras are permitted for Yibam. Whereas L'achar Misa Baal, if they did Mion after Misa, Tzar Sein Chaltas Lamis Yabmais, their tzaras require Chalitza and not Yibam. We see from his Braisa also the same thing, that after the husband dies, Mion can't be done anymore. So the answer is that no, Amar of Yudan of Matanya, Yudan, the father of Matanya, says, Tifter, we could explain, Shemesu V'lay Me'anu, this is talking about where they died without doing Mion. In other words, when this Braisa we just quoted says, L'achar Misa Sabal, Tzar Sein Chaltas Lamis Yabmais, that means that after the husband died, this Erva then died. And so in that case, the tzara requires Chalitza and not Yibam. However, the Braisa would agree that if after the husband died, died, she did a full-fledged miyun, so then it does take her out of the picture retroactively, Memela the Tzara would be able to have yibum done to her. The Gemara continues asking basically the same question from a Mishnah we're going to have on the next daf, Demasnisa. This Mishnah tells us as follows, if she was able to do miyun and she didn't do miyun and then her husband died, so the Tzara requires chalitza and not yibum. Once again, we see that miyun is not able to be done after her husband died. How do we understand that, which we've been saying up until now, that miyun is able to be done? Says the Gemara, like we had just answered in the previous brisa, that Kemasnisa, this Mishnah is referring to, if she was able to do miyun, she didn't do miyun, and then she died before being able to do miyun, so then her child is going to have to do chalitza and no yibum. But if indeed, after her husband died, she did do a proper miyun, so that would be fine, and we would follow that, and then the tzara would able to have yibum done. Now, Omar Rav Mari, he answers differently. Afilu tam b'kayemes, we can explain this Mishnah that she's still alive. Tifter, we could say, she'ain shom yavam acher el avia, that the only yavam that's here is her father, which means we only have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter, then Reuven dies without children, and Shimon's daughter is falling to him. So in this situation, since Shimon is the only yavam, it's too late. Shimon's daughter is not able to do miyun anymore to have it work retroactively. However, if there are other brothers, so that means that technically Shimon's daughter could marry one of his other brothers, Levi or Yehuda, so then she's able to do a proper miyun that would remove the zika that she has to the other brothers, Memela making her not relevant to her father either, and then the tzara would be permitted to her father. So that's another way to explain that Mishnah. Now we're going on to discuss another part of our Mishnah which had said if she's found to be an islandess, namely if the erva turns to be an islandess, so she can't bear children, so her tzara is able to marry the yavam. Now Rabbi Yonah says, Bovai mina erusin, this is only if she's an islandess mina erusin. Now we know the Jewish marriage has two parts to it, erusin and nisuin. Erusin, a lot of times, will translate it as halachic engagement. This is when the woman receives kiddushin from the husband, but there was never nisuin. There wasn't yichud yet, so there was just kiddushin. That's called erusin. It's official halachic engagement. And so if Reuven had died after being ma'aris, this woman, who turned out to be an islandess, so it's in that case that her tzara is allowed to marry the yavam. And that's for the following reason. Since there was only erusin between this islandess and Reuven, we can say with fair certainty that had Reuven discovered that she was an islandess, he would want to be mevatel that kiddushin l'mafreya. He wouldn't want to be married to her because she can't have children. We may review it as if it's already null and void l'mafreya. So that's why the islandess is out of the picture and the tzara is allowed to undergo yibum. However, if it was min hanisuin, if Reuven had already fully married this islandess and then he died, Rabbi Yonah is teaching us that's actually considered a full-fledged kiddushin, full-fledged marriage, because by that time, since they were already together, since there was already yichud, we assume that Reuven figured out that she's an islandess, and nonetheless, he stayed married to her, so in that case, she is considered his full-fledged wife. Memela, her tzara, is not permitted in yibum. However, Rabbi Yonah argues and he says, afim hanisuin. No, even if she's an islandess min hanisuin, we consider that marriage null and void l'mafreya. Memela, the tzara, is permitted in yibum. Now, says the Gemara, machzira tanyana, in the second machzor, in the second round, when they came back to learning Yimsech Zivamas again, chazer by Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi was chazer from this and ended up agreeing to Rabbi Yonah that the Mishnah is only talking about an islandess, mina erusin, but not mina nisuin. Now, normally, Rabbi Pinchas told him, like an alfan Rebbe mina nisuin, didn't you, Rebbe, teach us that it's from nisuin also? So, Amrali, Rabbi Yosi told him, vikavua gabach kamas merah, it seems to be it's set with you like a nail, meaning it's nice to see that you remember my teachings from last machzor. It was like a nail knocked in and remember it really solidly. I remember teaching it like that as well. However, I was chayzer. Now, Amr Abzayir Kumir Amana, Abzayir sent for Amana, Yos Amr Rabbi Yosi, Allah Yachzer Bay. Rabbi Yosi had said before he was chayzer was good, which means Rabbi Abzayir agrees with Rabbi Yosi's original Shita, where he argued with Rabbi Yonah that even if she's an islandess, min hanisuin, her tzara is allowed to marry the Yavam. Now, Rabbi Yonah asked Rabbi Abzayir, how could that be? Ilu bita min hanisuin beloy islandess. Let's say his daughter falls to him from nisuin, and she's not an islandess, which means Reuven married his niece, Shimon's daughter, then Reuven died without children, so Shimon's daughter is falling to him, and nothing to do with an islandess over here. Over here, for sure, we'd say that Saras Asura, her tzara is Asur. So now, just because you're adding on the factor that she's an islandess, you want to say her tzara is mutter? Why would that be? Since it's coming from Nisuin, we assume that that's a full-fledged marriage, even if she's an islandess, Mimila, the tzara would be Asur. So Amar Leir Abzayir responded to him that no, islandess can be she'ena ba'olam. Islandess is different. It's as if she's not even here, it's as if she doesn't exist. Meaning, even though she had fully-fledged Nisuin, full-fledged marriage to Reuven, it doesn't make a difference. Once we discover she's an islandess, it's as if she never existed, as if she's ena ba'olam, she's not here anymore. Mimela, the tzara is permitted in Yibum. And hang on, based on top, the Gemara brings us out. Ilu shtei yavamas. Let's say we have two yavamas falling. Achas islandess v'achas she'ena islandess. One's an islandess and one of them is not. Uba yavam v'chal tzlo uba aleha. And then the yavam comes along and he either does chalitza or bia to her, to the islandess. Shema pater b'chaverta klom. Are we going to say that pater's anything in the other one, in the tzara? No. Why is that? Because an islandess is not chayv and chalitza or yibum. She has no sheches, she has no connection to any of that because she's an islandess. Ilanis. And therefore we see from here, Hava Ilanis Kamisha'ina Ba'olam, in Ilanis as if she's not here in the world. Therefore, going back to original case, when Reuven's married to Shimon's daughter and she turns out to be an Ilanis, even if that was Min HaNisuin, we still view her as if she's not in the picture, and therefore Shimon is allowed to Miyabim the Tzara. Now the Gemara discusses what we had said in the beginning of today, that it would Bitoy, his daughter. The question is, could his daughter do Miyun? How does this make sense? V'loi Nisui Tairahi, that's a proper Girsa. This is not a proper marriage, Midoi Raisa, as the Pasuk tells us, as Biti Nisati L'Shazeh. I gave my daughter to this man. As we had said right in the beginning, Midoi Raisa, a man is allowed to marry his daughter off when she's a Ketana. As of Shimon married his daughter off to his brother Reuven when she was a Ketana, how is it possible that she could do Miyun? This is a marriage, Da'i Raisa, answers the Gemara of Hunus Shem Rishim Elokesh. Tifter Reed explained, Ketana Sheisio Via Venus Garsha. It could be talking about a Ketana whose father married her off, and then she got divorced from that husband, and she's still a Ketana. And what's she considered? We treat her like an orphan while her father is still alive. Even though obviously she has a father, she could go home, her father will take care of her. But from a halachic standpoint, she's considered an orphan in her father's life. Her father already married her off. That's a one-time chance. He now is not allowed to marry her off anymore. So she's a Ketana, who now if she gets married again, that's just a derabanan kiddushin, and she is allowed to do miyun. And that's the case that we're talking about over here. Now we discussed the last part of the Mishnah, which I pointed out, that there's three women from the first Mishnah, three of their arayos, that we can't possibly say that they did miyun or they turned out to be an ilanis. And that's if Reuven is married to Shimon's mother-in-law, mother-in-law's mother, or father-in-law's mother. And the reason for that is obvious in regards to ilanis, because an ilanis can't have children. And since she's already a mother-in-law, so obviously she had children. Now focusing on the second part of the statement, they did miyun. And we mentioned briefly in the Mishnah that we're clearly understanding that if a woman was able to have a child, that means she's not able to do miyun anymore. And that's what the Gemara is telling us now. Rav Acha quotes Rav Chanina b'shem Rav Shimon Lakish. Zayis Amaris tells us she'en ketana yuladas, that a ketana can't have children. The law came because if that's not so, if a ketana could have children, that means she could do miyun even though she had a child. And therefore, tamten ad shetagdol v'timon mebaylo. Why not wait until she grows up? She does miyun to her husband v'tater tzaras l'chanasa, and then she could be mater her tzara to her son-in-law. Again, we have Reuven married to his brother Shimon's mother-in-law and another woman. And if you want to say that a ketana is able to have children, say, so why can't we say that Shimon's mother-in-law is still a ketana? Let her just do miyun to Reuven even after Reuven died, and now her tzara is permitted to marry her son-in-law Shimon. And from the fact that we don't say that, rather, since the Mishnah tells us that we can't possibly apply the case of miyun to a person's mother-in-law, it must mean that a ketana can't have a child. But now we see a different shita. Says the Gemara, Kalasas Rabbi Shmuel Miyana, the daughter-in-law Rabbi Shmuel did miyun ubnal ksefa, and her son was on her shoulder, which means a ketana could have a child. Mamela, she's able to do miyun even though she has a child. Now they have a shita from Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Chizkiya says Shem Ravo, Rabbi Yuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, Amru Davar Echad, Rabbi Yuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel all say the same thing, that even though a girl had a child, she's still able to do miyun. Where do we see this? Tani, we have a braisa, ad imos haybas ma'anes, up until when is a daughter, meaning is a girl, able to do miyun? So first opinion is Achitavi Shtei Sires Divra Meir. Rav Meir holds up until she brings two sires, which means the beginning of puberty, once she has two sires, two hairs by the pubic area, that already tells us that she's not a ketana anymore and she's not able to do miyun. And Rabbi Yehuda, where he says, no, Ajir Bashachar, it's once the black or the dark increases, which means not just Shtei Sires, but there has to be multiple sires by her private area, and only then we say she's not able to do miyun, but beforehand she is able to. Or Rav Shimon says Ashet Espashet HaKaf, till the kaf, which literally means the spoon, it spreads out, is the area on her body which is slightly above her private part. It protrudes from her body a little bit. It's kind of like a spoon, and as she gets older, it starts smoothing out. The bump is not so pronounced anymore. It's only once that happens, once it starts smoothing out and flattening, says Rav Shimon, that she's not allowed to do miyun, but beforehand she is allowed to. Now, just clarifying this, Rav Zayir quotes Rav Chiya b'shem Rav Shimon Lakish, that what's Rav Shimon's shita? Ashet Espashet HaKaf V'Hei Ashachar Rabba Alavon. It's both these together. This kaf, this spoon, this bump on her skin, that has to smooth out, and she also has to have more shachar than lavon by her private area, and only then she's considered too old to do miyun. Now, bottom line is we see that Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon both agree that even though maybe halachically she's a ketana, because she already brought Shtei Sires, she still is able to do miyun. Now, our assumption is that they both agree that once she becomes a ketana, meaning she brings two Sires, she's able to bear a child, but nonetheless, according to them, she's still able to do miyun. So we see that they agree with Rabbi Shmuel that a girl is able to do miyun even though she has a child. Now, before we discuss whether or not this is true, meaning whether or not Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon actually agree with Rabbi Shmuel, we just mentioned that Rabbi Avoh quotes Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shaya, that halachah Rabbi Yehuda, the halachah Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shua ben Levi Amar, he says halachah Rabbi Yehuda, that also the halachah Rabbi Yehuda. And also of the Kumi Rabbi Yasa, there's a story that came to Rabbi Yasa where the girl wanted to do miyun even though she had brought Shtei Sires, however she had not yet reached the stage of Yar b'Shachar al Lavon. And Amar said, Ezel Gai Rabbi Avoh, go to Rabbi Avoh, the Islay Ofan halachah Rabbi Yehuda, because he has a teaching meaning his Messiah is halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, that she's still able to mion. But anan us, less on ofan halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, we don't have Messiah that halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, so we can't pass on that for you. That's why you should go to Rabbi Vo. And also Rabbi Chanina says halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda. However, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tzipayraya, Rabbi Yochanan told people Tzipayri, Adon Amar Meshum Rabbi Chanina halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, you had said in the Rabbi Chanina halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, but Velasi Kane, that's not so. Rabbi Chanina never said that, meaning you can't quote Rabbi Chanina saying that halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, bottom line is going back to the original discussion, my kedain, what now is it then? Is it really true that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agreed to Rabbi Yishmael that even though she's officially Ketana, she brought Shtei Cyrus, she's able to do Mion, and that means that she would be able to have a child? Sigmar tells us, Chavraya say b'shem Rabbi Chanina, the Chavraya, which means the Chum in Beis Medrash, they said in Rabbi Chanina, but Rabbi Yehuda, she'im nivola m'sheviya Shtei Cyrus, that if she had Bia, after she already had two Cyrus, she'in yichol l'mayin, she's not able to do Mion. Why is that? Because we know that one of the valid forms of Kiddushin is Bia, and so if after she brought two Cyrus, she had Bia with her husband, so that's considered like a D'oraisa Kiddushin, so she can't do Mion anymore. Up until now, her Kiddushin was only D'rabbanan, so she can do Mion. Now that's D'oraisa, so she can't do Mion. Harav Za'ir says, B'shem Rabbi Chanina, a different memra, Maida Rabbi Yehuda, she'im niskadsha m'sheviya Shtei Cyrus, that if she accepted Kiddushin from her husband, meaning she accepted something of value from her husband, L'shem Kiddushin, after she brought two Cyrus, so then she'in yichol l'mayin, she's not able to do Mion anymore, but if she just had Bia with him, that's not considered like Kiddushin, in as much as that he's acquiring her mid-D'oraisa, so she can't do Mion. And therefore, if she just had Bia with her husband, even after bringing two Cyrus, she is able to do Mion. Now, what does this machlokes Chavraya and Reb Za'ira in Chitas Reb Chanina have to do with what we're discussing? So, that Reb Za'ira, according to Reb Za'ira, the Amar Niskadshim Shevi Yeshtei Cyrus, who had said that if she accepted proper Kiddushin after bringing two Cyrus, that she can't do Mion anymore, that's Mashma, Ha'im Niskadsha, Ad Shaloi Hivi Yeshtei Cyrus, that if she accepted Kiddushin before bringing two Cyrus, Vinivala Meshevi Yeshtei Cyrus, and she had Bia after Shtei Cyrus, Yechayel Himayin, she would be able to do Mion because she's not married Midaraisa. So, Nicha, this makes sense. Meaning, the fact that Ravo said that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Shmuel that even after bringing two Cyrus, she's able to do Mion, and that means she would be able to have a child. So this fits well, because she had Bia after Shtei Cyrus, which means she's able to have a child, and she's still able to do Mion, so it's just like Rabbi Shmuel. But all that in the Chavraya, according to the Chavraya, the Inun Amrin, they said, Nivola Meshevi Shtei Cyrus, that if she had Bia after Shtei Cyrus, she's not able to do Mion anymore. So Haim Nivola Ad Shalevi Shtei Cyrus, Yechayeli Mayin, that tells us that if she had Bia before Shtei Cyrus, which is very normal, she's having Bia with her husband while she's still a Ketana, she's able to do Mion, but Vizai, Amos Ibri Vialda, this one, how would she able to become pregnant and give birth? Achle Vishtei Cyrus, is before she was Havishtei Cyrus, so there's no possibility of her getting pregnant and having a child and subsequently being able to do Mion, because again, the last Bia that she had was before she was Havishtei Cyrus, and we're assuming then she can't have a child. And why is that? Says the Gemara, because Vachayahi, is she able to live if she would get pregnant? Like in Amr Badifa, quoting Rabbi Yoina B'Shem Rabbi Ila, Isa Ibra Vialda, Achle Vishtei Cyrus, if a woman became pregnant and gave birth before she brought two Cyrus, meaning while she was still a Ketana, he uben amesim, both her and her child are going to die. It's only mishevish de Cyrus. If after she had two Cyrus, so then he uben achaim, both he and her child are going to live. Whereas Ibrad, shaloi vish de Cyrus, viyalda mishevish de Cyrus, if she became pregnant before Shtei Cyrus, but she only gave birth to the child after Shtei Cyrus, he chai uben ames. She's going to live, but her child's going to die. Bottom line is, we see according to this understanding that she's not able to do Mion if she had Bia after Shtei Cyrus. It would mean that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with Rabbi Shmuel because there's not a possibility of her doing Mion after Shtei Cyrus with a child. So this aversion would show the Rabbi Vo is incorrect when he says the Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Shmuel. Is the Gemara Vav Amalaf on top? My Kedain, what now? How do we understand this? Are we able to say the Rabbi Vo statement, the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon saying the same thing is correct or not? So the Gemara answers no, that we misunderstood what Rabbi Vo is saying. It's not that Rabbi Vo is telling us the Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both agree with Rabbi Shmuel that a girl could do Mion even though she has a child. Rather, he means to say the Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda Ad Sheyar B'Shachar. Rabbi Shmuel is going like Rabbi Yehuda that she's allowed to do Mion up until the stage of Yar B'Shachar HaLavon, which means even though she already brought two Cyrus, she still is able to do Mion. And also Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shmuel holds a Rabbi Shimon in a totally different Shita, not regarding the Braisa which Rabbi Shimon's quoted with Rabbi Yehuda, rather regarding a totally different Braisa, namely where it says Al Tanai Kiddush Harisha and Baal, that he's Baal based off of the original Kiddushin, namely when this man is married to the Ketana, even when he's Baal her after she's maybe Shtei Cyrus, he doesn't have in mind to do a brand new Kiddushin. He's still being Baal her based off of the original Kiddushin, so this Bia is not considered a new Kiddushin. Therefore, even though they had Bia after Shtei Cyrus and she became pregnant and maybe even had a child from that, she still was able to do Mion because there was never another Kiddushin. And that's what Rav Ho meant when he said that Rabbi Shmuel is like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. He's going like Rabbi Yehuda in one thing and Rabbi Shimon in another thing. And therefore, Rav Ho's statement makes sense. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss the brass that we quoted previously, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.